We'll just give everyone a minute to come in. Hey, good afternoon and welcome to the Autogrill first half of 2021 financial results conference call. All participants will be in listen mode only until the Q&A. To ask a question, please press the raise your hand button in the meeting controls or star 9 if you're connected by phone. The presentation can be found on the Autogrill website or via the link in the chat. Lorenzo Rivabene, Group Corporate Development and Investor Relations Director, is going to start the call. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the Autogrill's first half 2021 call. During this conference call, we anticipate making projection and forward-looking statements based on our current expectations. Our actual results could differ materially due to a number of factors, many of which may be outside of our control, including the extent and duration of the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as other factors. Given the risk and uncertainties inherent in forward-looking statements, you should not unduly rely on them. For a discussion of these risks and uncertainties, you should review the disclaimer in the earnings presentation we issued today. We will start today's call with key remarks from our Group CEO Gianmario Tondato and our Corporate General Manager and Group CFO Camillo Rossotto, followed by a Q&A session. With this, I will hand over to Gianmario.
Thank you, Lorenzo. The first half of 2021 was a true milestone for our group. We have successfully launched and completed our 600 million equity raise. And that, for that, I would like to thank all of you for the support that has allowed us to achieve an excellent result with a final take-up of over 99%. In March, our US subsidiary signed an agreement to sell its motorways business. The transaction has been closed on 23rd July and will provide us with about 300 million of additional liquidity. The disposal is in line with the capital allocation strategy of the group of unlocking the value potential of a long duration motorways business and at the same time optimizing our concession portfolio as well as focusing on high growth and capex light businesses. In the meantime, we have continued to manage our business in a still challenging, volatile global environment. Despite the first signs of recovery on the back of the progress of vaccination or the vaccination campaign, we have navigated through these uncertainties with excellent results, both in profitability and cash preservation. We have achieved these results focusing on the following priorities. First, ensuring health and safety of our employees and customers, preserving margins and cash, leveraging the savings achieved in 2020, and third, strengthening our capital structure with the group net financial position back to the pre-COVID-19 level. We see now encouraging signs of recovery, despite social distancing measures and some restrictions implemented by governments across the different regions. As the rollout of the vaccine has started, we are seeing a steady progress in traffic. As expected, domestic air travel is recovering and growing faster than international traffic. Motorways are confirming their resiliency. Thanks to the actions undertaken by the management since the start of the pandemic, we are seeing an important progress in productivity and in the average ticket. That drives a significant improvement in the sales flow through. As we anticipated, our flow through on the way up is much better than our drop through on the way down. And on the back of the improvement of the operating performance in the Q2, we have improved our 2020-2021 free cash flow guidance. And with that, I will hand over to Camillo, who will take you through the financials.
Thank you, Gianmario. Good afternoon, everyone. Let's look at our numbers in detail. In the first half of 2021, the group posted revenue of 938 million euros, a decrease of 11% at cost and exchange rates compared to last year, on the back of new lockdowns in the Q1. We posted first half underlying EBIT of minus 89 million, significantly better than last year, despite lower revenue. This is an improvement of more than 200 million euros compared to the first half of 2020. Additionally, the group returned to a positive EBIT of in excess of 10 million euros in the month of June 2021. This is the result of the hard work done by our teams across the regions to offset the impact of COVID-19 and to restart the commercial activity. Underlying net loss in the first half was 146 million euros compared to 268 million recorded in the same period of last year. Our liquidity profile remained solid during the first 6 months of 2021 with a positive free cash flow generation in Q2. Our total cash burn in the first half 2021 amounted to approximately 56 million euros, significantly improving from 120 circa for the first quarter, with an increasingly positive free cash flow generation in Q2 for a cumulative amount in Q2 of 64 million. Our net financial position at the end of June, excluding lease receivables and liabilities and after the proceeds of the capital increase, amounted to 567 million euros, in line with pre-pandemic level. Total liquidity at the end of June, including available credit facilities, amounted to 1.3 billion, an all-time high. This amount does not include the proceeds of the disposal of our US motorways business.
Tender activity remained very limited in the first half of the year. Despite this environment, we were able to secure almost 1 billion of additional business, mainly related to the extension of existing contracts, as part of the ongoing renegotiations with landlords to compensate the losses created by the pandemic. In the first half of the year, we have continued focusing on the P&L flexibility and cash preservation. In general terms, the product mix has been positive and resulted in an increase in the average ticket in the main geographies. Labor productivity is improving across the main markets as we adjusted continuously labor hours to traffic flows. Finally, we are working with the landlords to secure additional rent reliefs.
Let's now go back to first half 2021 results, analyzing the performance of our different business units. North America revenue was almost back to first half 2020 level, driven by the rapid vaccine deployment that resulted into a sharp recovery of traffic. As expected, the US airport traffic is showing a good pickup due to its exposure to continental travel, representing around 90% of the total. Like-for-like performance was still minus 5% versus last year, with 65% of stores open as of June 30th. Underlying EBIT was a positive $32 million, up from minus 174 million of the first half of 2020, benefiting from higher labor productivity, rent renegotiations, and OPEX reductions. International posted revenue of 56 million euros, down 67% compared to the same period of last year. Exposure to the international air travel resulted into a like-for-like performance of minus 65%. Eventually, underlying EBIT was minus 24 million euros, slightly better than the 30 million euros of last year. The improvement was mainly driven by continuous cost rationalization initiatives. Europe recorded 8% like-for-like growth, mainly driven by the recovery of motorway traffic. European airports and railways were still negatively impacted by the pandemic due to the exposure to the international traffic and the impact of remote working. Underlying EBIT was minus 80 million euros, an improvement of 18 million compared to last year.
Now, the capital raise. The capital increase has been a roaring success and totally subscribed. Share price performance from announcement to completion exceeded 60%. The improved financial flexibility will enable the group to drive long-term growth, financing future investments, and exploiting potential market opportunities.
On the wing of the first half results and what we're seeing today, we're improving our full-year guidance. We now guide revenue in a narrower range between 2.3 and 2.6 billion euros. Based on the meaningful improvement in our operating performance and free cash flow generation in Q2, we now upgrade our free cash flow guidance for 2021 to a range of minus 65 million euros to minus 15 million. The revised guidance for the year is based upon the assumption that the current level of traffic will sustain for the rest of the year. Our midterm targets for 2024 remain unchanged. Before we open it for the call, I'd just like to point out that as far as our midterm ambitions are concerned, we believe that the current crisis has put even more focus on ESG than before. And ESG's topics have always been at the heart of Autogrid's way of doing business, with a 15-year-long history of commitments and initiatives and delivery. For this reason, we decided to start a new journey, launching a new ESG strategy based on three strategic pillars that are encapsulated into: one, we nurture people; two, we offer sustainable food experiences; three, we care for the planet. And in the coming month, we will be setting clear and focused commitments to drive the group action in this journey, with the ambition of further enhancing our ability to impact and shape a better future.
Finally, I think that the group did a great job implementing a series of actions to mitigate the impacts of COVID-19 and to protect our business. Notwithstanding a pandemic resurgence risk still on, I think we are past the tipping point of the most difficult period, and we have a mildly positive view for the future. Our long-term strategy remains unchanged. We are committed to strengthen our global leadership and to deliver sustainable long-term value to all our stakeholders. We will now take your questions. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you, Gianmario. I'm reading now three questions we received from Simon Lechypre. The first one is revenue guidance. Given the moving parts with the disposal and business closures, could you help us understand what is your like-for-like assumption versus H2 19, implied by the midpoint of your 2.3-2.6 guidance? Second question.
It's better if you read the second one, because it's the actual, and then we answer to the second one first, and then the second.
Okay, second question. June exit rate. Could you give us the like-for-like growth in June 21 versus June 19?
Yes, we can. Now, the June year-to-date versus the first half of 2019, the like-for-like growth was approximately 54%. And the exit rate of the month of June 2021 versus 2019 was minus 44%. Now, going to your first question, our scenarios for the second half of 2021 implies the following traffic dynamics. I'm going to arrange them just for sake of clarity. For US Air, we think we're going to be between minus 20 and minus 40%. And for Italian motorways, at the other extreme of the spectrum, between minus 7 and minus 20% approximately. You should consider, in the second half, we will deconsolidate, de facto we have deconsolidated, the US motorway business, which accounted for circa 100 million euros in the second half of 2020.
Okay, I'm reading now the last question. Free cash flow. Your guidance implies around 50 million of positive free cash flow in H2 compared with more than 60 million of positive free cash flow in Q2. So could you help us understand the moving parts that would explain this difference?
Well, it's really a continuation of the trend on a full year basis based on the dynamics of revenues that I just given you, of the actions and their effects on the second half. I've seen some of the commentaries, they were focusing mostly on DNA. I think that analysis misses the biggest part of what we call the management improvements, which have to do with labor. And we think that you can pretty much project the dynamics that we have recorded on the P&L for the first half on personnel expenses, which are really the sum of labor and G&A labor. So you can assume that that will be sort of the performance in the second half, and as well as rents. We're still in an environment where some rents abatements are coming our way, and the incidence of rents on our P&L can be still forecasted to be more favorable than it was in 2019 as a reference point. So those two will drive the incremental cash flow. I think you need to be aware of the fact that when we gave you the full year guidance for minus 70 to minus 120, we also said that that would have been front end loaded. And the first quarter, in fact, we burned 120 million of cash. And then we also told you that from there on, we would have been to a greater or lower extent into a cash generation mode. I think what we've done today is just reiterate the message and apply to the forecast of the second half, where there's going to be a greater concentration of revenues, as is typical for our business.
Nash, we can now start with the Q&A session.
Certainly will do. The first question comes from James Ainley. James, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Hope you can hear me. So I have three questions, please. First, just following on from that earlier comment about rent concessions. Certainly, looks on my numbers like the majority of the beat was driven by rent concessions. What's envisaged in your guidance for the second half of the year about ongoing rent concessions? That's the first question. The second question is, what are you seeing in terms of inflationary cost pressures? I guess in particular, labor costs in North America seem under a lot of pressure for a lot of businesses. Can you talk about that and how you are able to pass it on? And then the third question, more longer term, but can you talk a bit more about your 6% margin target for 2024 and kind of what do you see as the key drivers of that outperformance over the 2019 level and therefore your confidence in that, please?
Yep. We think we're going to be looking at a similar amount that we saw, slightly less in the first half for a rent concession, call it 50 million euros. And I would just disagree with your comment, James, about that's the major item of the beat, because again, probably all the other levers of the P&L have been playing a role on our overperformance. The second point on inflation cost pressure, sure, we see that. It's twofold. It's an issue of scarcity, of lower propensity of people to go to work. But we think that's temporary with the coming off of the incentive schemes in North America in the fall. They should be kind of self-adjusting. We also see pressures to attract people from a cost perspective, from a unit cost perspective. But again, what we've been doing by utilizing in a very focused and diligent way the number of hours that we put into the business, you see in that effect the 65%, whatever you want to call it, the number of stores open, percentage of stores open, is a little bit misleading, because we are opening them in a very tactical way where we're in total control of the situation, like in the airports in North America, to make sure again the productivity is maximized. So when you look at the hourly cost, that might very well will go up. But when you look at the total cost in terms of average ticket or of the mix of product that we sell, we have a clearly positive expression there. What I mean is that we are passing on today, you've seen the indication we've given of plus 20% approximately in terms of average ticket, more than the cost that we see on the inflation end of it. Ditto for the cost of goods component. And on your last question on the 6% margin prediction or the 140 basis points expansion by 2024, nothing has changed much since we did the roadshow. So the again, labor and G&A, both in the OPEX and the labor cost component, are going to be a key driver, not to the extent that we've seen in this quarter, obviously, because we're going to go back to some more normalized productivity levels. But we think that efficiency on those two items, line items, will make a good chunk of the expansion. The other piece will come from the mix of our offer. Therefore, some is pricing, some is mix, some is better performing products versus other, the grab and go, the alcohol and all of that. And then there's a piece where we think we are conservative, i.e. we think that rents will go back to a normalized pre-crisis level. We don't think they will go higher. We don't think they will stay at this level as today, but that is not, in our view, a major lever for the margin expansion. So the other two would make for the bigger piece of that projection. I was referring to the 2024, obviously.
James, you're on mute. Okay. The next question comes from Alessandro Ciccini. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you everybody for taking my questions. The first one is about the Italian motorways business during this summer period, July. I see that traffic dynamics are very close to 2019 levels, according to ASPI numbers, and I went to a couple of stores, your store, and I saw that the price mix is really high. So I would like to better understand if during this summer period, are you overperforming traffic or are in line with the traffic levels? My second question is instead about the cost of goods sold in the first half. I see that you have a pressure in terms of cost of goods sold against the revenues is up versus last year. So if you would like to better explain this element. And finally, about sector consolidation, I think actually that it's something needed, and I would like to have your view if likely or it's possible that 2022 could be the year of for a significant sector consolidation in your business. Thank you.
The first question is on July. I think we are commenting the first half of the year, so July is not included. The first half of the year. What I can tell you is that let's go back to the first half of the year. It's clear, if you follow what Camillo was saying before, that we ended the first half of the year with an important momentum. And what I can tell you, generally speaking, is that the momentum is there, is still there, is growing. And if I look at there are not only the traffic performances, but it is also the sales on the traffic, you know. My strong belief is that we are doing better than the competition, much better than the competition, and the performance are there, are still there, you know. Again, now in Italy, as you know, there is this Green Pass situation. We'll see we're going to have an impact on that, if it's going to be positive, negative. We have to rethink the operations, readapt the operation, because of course we have to check the people when they come in at the restaurant, stuff like that. And so there are, every day there is something new that we need to adapt. And so it's too early to tell you, but that's what I can tell you about the July numbers. The cost of the goods sold is a completely, sorry if I tell you this, but it's completely, I don't see any pressure, frankly speaking, on the cost of goods sold in Italy. What we did, because when you look at our business, you have to look at the cost of labor plus the cost of goods sold. So what we did basically, consistently on what we've been telling in the last 9 months, basically we are changing the way in which we operate. So the retail part of the component that is called retail, that is it's not F&B actually, or this pre-confectionery, or is growing much more than the in the mix, you know, than what we used to do before. Now, so the cost of goods sold, of course, being a retail component, is going up. But if you look at the cost of labor, the cost of labor is going down. And I go back to what Camillo was saying. I think the major achievement that we got and we really were working on, you know, in all the division, is the managing the cost of labor, that is the quick fix and that you can have, you know, in a crisis situation. So if you look at the combination of the two, it's clear that we are moving the business towards a more retailization type of business, grab and go type of business, compared to what we had before, you know. And so as a result of that, you know, you have to look at the two components together. No, you cannot judge just one. It's really a mixed thing. And the third question is about the potential combination. You know, as we told, because there were some rumors, you know, about another listed company, our board never discussed in the board about this type of opportunities. But it's clear, you know, we've been telling that we are doing all this strengthening of our balance sheet, and we are doing all this effort, you know, in getting stronger, you know, with more liquidity, because we think, you know, every crisis is also an opportunity, you know. So we think there are we're going to see winners, losers, possibility of consolidation. But also, we always talk about the M&A part or the consolidation part, but we see also, look at the 1 billion of contracts, you know, that we extended during this pandemic situation. That is a big achievement, you know. You can do this if you have cash, if you can really invest in advance, you know, and get 3, 4, 5 years or whatever of extension, you know. So this is a situation in which, as long as you have possibility, liquidity, you're going to find opportunities. It's too early to say what is going to happen in the future, you know. We're not done yet in this type of pandemic, you know. But for sure, we are in a very good shape and in a very good position.
If I might just help a little bit further, Alessandro, on your question on COGS. Again, just to reiterate part of this message, looking at COGS in isolation, but even at labor costs in isolation, in these times, post-COVID, can be misleading. It's a little bit like looking at the finger instead of looking at the moon, because it's not the cost per unit that has gone up, or in case it did, the overarching effect is the shift of mix of what we sell. So you just said it, you walked into an auto grill in Italy, you see how much more retail we do, even at the discounted price on the face of the items. But that percentage, by the way, drives a bigger COGS in absolute terms. And so the question is, what are your terms of trade? And when you look at their ability to reprice or to offer a bigger ticket, you see the answer to your question. So again, maybe in normal circumstances, where we'll go back to a more stable type of revenue, the dynamics of cost of labor and COGS are going to be driving. But right now, it's a different ballgame.
Okay, thank you. So just a follow-up on if you can add, so for your guidance, 2.6 billion euros of sales base case, what is the assumption of like-for-like versus 2019, if you can, of course.
I'll repeat it, because probably I was blubbered before. We are assuming for the second half, for US airports to be between minus 20 and minus 40. So it's a 20% range, but somewhere in between there should be the outcome. And for Italian motorways, between minus 7 and minus 20 versus the second half of 2019.
Okay, many thanks.
Yes, Alessandro, this is the underlying assumption of traffic, underlying the, our like-for-like performance.
Okay, so the, in the middle of these ranges, you have put basically 2.6 billion.
No, the 2.6 is the higher part
okay,
of the
range. Okay, clear.
2.3
clear.
And 2.6, and somewhere in between okay. It's 2.5.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
Okay, I'm reading now the questions I just received from Ali Naqvi. There are three questions here. The first one is the 1 billion of renewals. What terms are these on versus 2019? How should we think about the future renewals versus 2019 terms? Second one is your full firepower, including the US disposal, 1.6 billion as you get closer to cash breakeven? What is the plan to utilizing this? Last question, H2 guidance, clarifying that it is assuming that traffic doesn't improve from here. What drop through should we use if traffic do improve further?
No, guys, I just repeat it for a sake of clarity. If in the first half we were at a like for like of versus 2019, sorry. Of approximately minus 50%, because we were at minus 62 in 2020. Now, the figures that I gave you for the second half are slightly improving, and they reflect the trend that we've seen in April, May, and June. Based on that, we're predicated an improvement of the guidance of all the metrics that you've seen today. As to your questions on the firepower, it's early to say. We've just reestablished, we moved from having a 1.2 billion, call it net debt, net financial position, and something like 500 million of cash to exactly the opposite kind of picture. And rightly, you're pointing out that with the inclusion of the cash coming from the sale of the motorways in North America, we will be at around 1.5 billion, which is roughly the type of indication on firepower that were given back at the capital markets day pre-COVID. So at least from a liquidity and capital structure standpoint, we can say that we have fixed both the balance sheet and the cash. Now, the only thing that needs to happen from a credit perspective is the underlying metrics of operating profitability to go back to pre-COVID level as well, which will happen in 2022. What we do with the cash, I think, again, the strategy is clear. You want to be the leader. You don't want to be utilizing cash flow from operations to deleverage. Now, at this point, we can look at participating in new bids and looking at opportunities in the M&A arena. But again, it's very much early for us to give any more specific indication to your question there. As far as the terms of the renewals, these are like the word itself suggests, extensions of contracts that were already there. As we told you also during the roadshow, there's going to be a good chunk, approximately 400 million of business that we will not renew because we thought that was underperforming vis-a-vis the average of our profitability. But these are not the contracts that were extended. So this would be generating a positive impact on our profitability going forward.
So we're talking about, I have the list in front of me, we're talking about 35 contracts, so it's very granular. So it's basically a compensation of the missing profitability for 2020 and the lower profitability for 2021. So generally speaking, that's the concept.
So they're part of the renegotiation that we've started. In some cases, we got longer duration, some cases we got lower rents, or a mix of the two, and therefore the accounting treatment also changes. But it's a mixed bag of concession that we still want to play with. Yeah, sorry, I told you 50%, it was 53.6%, the like for like. So order of magnitude is correct. There's going to be an improvement in the second half and a bigger concentration of revenues, but that's part of our seasonality pattern.
Are there any further questions? Please be reminded to ask a question. Please press the raise your hand button in the meeting controls or star nine if you're connected by phone. Thank you. Please go ahead, Marco.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Marco Baccaglio from Kepler. Two questions. One is you reduce the top end of your guidance from 2.7 to 2.6 billion. I was wondering which was the area which convinced you to do that change. And the second thing is your results are obviously affected positively by these rents renegotiations, and I think that North America is a big part of this. Now, in North America, we see traffic down about 21% these days against 2019. Is it still an environment where you get rents relief, or let's say when we go towards 15%, maybe you get no more rents relief and still maybe living with a lower than average traffic, which might be maybe damaging your profitability more than today where you have a relief?
Marco, thank you for the question. It's very funny because in 2018, 2019, we were talking about 1% more, 1% less of
Exactly.
Now you see, a recovery, which if you look at the number, correct me guys if I'm wrong, but we are talking about 40% down, from 2019, and you think, we are in a booming environment. So, it makes things in perspective, I must say. What I think personally is that, of course, we are still in a very difficult environment. I think, we see the light at the end of the tunnel, as they say, and we see a growing environment. We're going to have some setback for sure. As you can see, this green pass, is really an uncertain environment. What I can tell you is that we miss the volume because the traffic is there, but it's not the traffic of 2019. We miss international traffic. We miss part of the national traffic. We still have people afraid of traveling. So it's still a difficult environment. What we can tell you, and I think the message we're trying to convey, is that, from the traffic and the sales that we are extremely profitable. We're doing a great job. And it's not the rent. Again, it's not only the rent. It's the rent, but it's the sum of the engine of our business. That is the cost of goods sold combined with labor. In Italy and in Europe, having a retail business, a motorway business, so having 24 hours, 7 days per week, what we are trying to do is to go towards a retailization of the business. So less labor and keep the store, open, make grab and go and food to go, all these kind of things, so you can manage the mix better. And the result is what you've seen. Of course, being a motorway business, summer is much bigger, much more important than the first half of the year. So we'll see if we are in the right on the right path or the wrong path, in September. But my feeling is that we are doing a good job with some difficult situation like the green pass control, stuff like that. In the U.S., we are doing a completely different things. We are adapting our cost structure in a flexible way to the sales that we see. And we have very much sophisticated model, data model that can really read, what is coming up, in terms of traffic, in terms of passengers. And we are trying to shape really our cost structure. And again, the labor is very extremely important, and also because it's expensive in the US, following the sales. And that's what we're trying to do, So I think that's the most important part. And you saw also the rent, is still a for everybody a problem, you know. Then it's everybody, I think if you go in our sector, you know, everybody is basically talking about the variable rent and not the minimum guarantee, you know. That in actually in our sector wasn't the standard even before, but right now, you know, is the landlords understand, you know, we're still missing an important part of passengers, you know. And unfortunately, I think we will also by the next December and also probably for most of the part of 2022, you know, we're still in a recovery situation. So we need to believe this. I mean, otherwise.
Let me put numbers around Gianmario's statements. The EBITDA improvement under IFRS 16 of the first half of 2021 versus the first half of 2020 has been equal to 112 million euros. Of these, the rent reduction on the P&L, which, as you know, reflects the abatements and the variable rent piece, has been of 26 million. So for sure, rents have helped. But the big chunk of improvement at the EBITDA level comes from other factors. Now, I've seen other comments when you go to the EBIT level that we all did it out of accounting, out of DNA and such. For sure, again, we didn't have 35 million of write-offs that were last year. We didn't have Spain that drove another 10 million, and we didn't have the renegotiation of the remeasurement of the liability. But again, if you just focus on the EBITDA expansion, rents are a piece. And it's important to state that particularly in international and in North America, they're still a factor. And you've seen it from the cash flow as well, but they're not the driving force. Second, to your question, the area that has made us lower the top end of the guidance has really been international or international travel at large within the various jurisdictions, be it the airports in Europe, be it airports overseas. Some regions of the world have been affected also by pandemic revamping, Vietnam, India, and such. And so all of that has made us being a little bit more cautious on the top line, but hey, the bottom line is there.
Please go ahead, Isaac.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Three quick questions from my side. The first one is on the outstanding EBIT improvement achieved in North America. Can you help us understand if there is anything, let's say, non-recurring in terms of savings, or we should assume the division to close the year with a positive EBIT and EBIT margin. Second question is on labor cost. Incidence on sales was just a touch above 30% in the first half. Is this level again sustainable already in 2021? And the very last question is on the top line. If I saw correctly from the presentation, you had more openings than closings at the group level. And this was quite unexpected to me. Should we expect a higher number of closures in the second half of the year?
First of all, welcome to the club, Isacco. Second is we think that there's nothing really one-off in the performance of our U.S. operations at the underlying level, as the term implies. And how sustainable it is for 2024, we don't know. How sustainable it is in the second half of the year, we think it is. And so I think you can kind of model it out into the second part of the year. And that was for the US question. Then you had a question on labor costs in North America. No, in general. Well, in general, I think pretty much the same applies. Now that you see the concentration of sales in July, August on the motorways in Italy will tell us where we are on that score pretty well. And We don't see anything one-off there as well.
If I can, on labor cost, you know, so the we have to, if we want to really understand why labor cost is growing, we have to go back to first with you to the Obama administration, because that was the point at which really they started to add additional costs, you know, to the labor in the US. Secondly, today in this environment, everywhere in the world, I would say, we are fighting with government bonuses, with fear of people, you know, going back to work, you know, and meeting 50-100 people every day, you know, while they are working, you know, and so those kind of things, you know, and that's the reason why this cost of labor is growing up, you know. Although we are, funny to say, you know, but we are a little bit protected in the US because we are already highly unionized, while other operators are not. So this is more a problem for companies that are with zero union, you know. So we are already covered by more expensive agreement, you know, that are side by side, generally speaking, in the US. And so for some reasons, you know, we are in a easier environment. And in Italy, we have the bonus for people not going to work, you know, those kind of things. Those measures sooner or later will stop, you know. So I think we have to expect, you know, a lower pressure on the cost of labor for sure. Not tomorrow, but in a reasonable horizon, let's say probably the beginning of 2022 or whatever, you know, when this environment will be more, and this is a problem for everybody, not only for our industry. It's a problem for all the companies, you know, and it's difficult to hire people. So the answer that we had for is basically to enhance the productivity. So the mix of product, the retailization, as I told you before, in the motorway business more than anything else, and also the productivity of the people. So a little bit of digital, you look also at the number of transactions per hour are much higher now than in 2019. So we are constantly improving, and this is a bunch of things, you know, constantly improving our productivity on labor. This is the most important thing in an environment like that, you know. Closing and openings, and again, it's another point, you know, when you see the 65% of stores that we are opening, they are open actually, but they are not open like they were open in 2019. So now what we do, we are very flexible in the opening, just making stupid examples, but we open a coffee store, you know, just 3-4 hours in the morning, we move the people to another store that during the lunchtime, you know. So we are managing micro productivity almost every day just to get the from the labor the highest productivity that we can, you know. That's what we do. So those openings are not comparable with the opening that we had pre-pandemic.
Thank you. Please go ahead, Simon.
Yes, a quick follow-up for me, please. Just on your working capital assumption, if you could give us some details for H2, what do you expect based on your revenue guidance, please?
It's going to be generative, Simon. Is that good of an answer? You want it? No, I mean, look at it from a different perspective. In the first half of last year, with the drop that we had in the revenues, we have absorbed 174 million. We went through that explanation many times. We have a negative working capital where revenues come down. You just pay the payables the previous months, and you get squeezed, right? Look at the first half of 2021. It's basically a break-even working capital with a minus 10 in total. If I was to show you the dynamics of working capital within those 6 months, you will still see an absorption in the first quarter and a generation in the second one, almost of the same order of magnitude. Now, with June, I'll give you a qualitative statement, but probably half of the cash generation has come from operating performance and half has come from working capital change. Now, to the extent that our prediction for the increase of revenues in the second half is correct, I think you can model something like 5% of the growth coming from working capital, just that part of that being negative and being that percentage of sales as an average number. So more than that, I don't think I want to get into, but to be specific, then a chunk of the contribution will come from working capital. Then it will normalize into when you get to a more steady state type of growth, but we're not in a steady state type of growth right now.
Very helpful, thanks.
Welcome.
Are there any further questions? Thank you, everyone. I will now hand you back to management. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for joining our call. And me and the rest of the IR team are available in case you have any follow-up questions. Thank you.